the way the world is today and all of the times that it's like, hey, I'm just going to send a text message or I'm going to send a message on Teams. I think it's important to pick up the phone and have the conversation, which a lot of people have gone away from. And I think it really, really helps people be successful in a recruiting position.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull. And on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Brooke Toole. Brooke is the Director of Talent Acquisition for Corporate, University Relations, and Game Changer at Dick's Sporting Goods. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
Let's get started like we usually do. Let's talk a little bit about your background, how you got started in recruiting, roles that you've had leading up to your current role, and those types of things.
Sure. So I've been in recruiting for almost 20 years. So my career started probably a little bit differently than most. I started in college athletics. So I went to college, I played basketball at Binghamton University in New York, and I was there. My college coach ended up leaving Binghamton after I had graduated to go to a school in Flagstaff, Arizona called Northern Arizona University, go Lumberjacks. She went there and said, hey, Brooke, listen, I need a grad assistant. I'd love to come, you to come with me. I said, awesome. I was going to plan to go back to grad school, and this gave me an opportunity to coach and to get my master's degree essentially for free. So I went out to Flagstaff and I spent 3 years there. I got my master's and I recruited. And it was by far the hardest recruiting I've ever done to recruit college student athletes to come to a university and to have parents give you their children for the first time and say, yes, we trust you with our kids in college and that you're going to teach them and coach them and shape them to be who they are. So that was my first experience with recruiting. So not quite the recruiting I do today, but definitely a challenge. So I was there for 3 years. I knew I didn't want to stay in coaching for my life. It's very coaching. My husband's a college basketball coach, so I get it full swing every day. And I knew it was not something I wanted to experience every day of my life with travel and being away from family and things like that. So I ended up getting into a staffing company in Las Vegas, Nevada. I moved not too far, about 4 hours, and started in staffing. I worked in staffing for about a year, and I got recruited from a client of mine that I was supporting to come and work directly for a company called Vegas.com. And Vegas.com at the time was the largest destination travel website in the world, which now it is not, but it was at the time. And I worked there for about 2 years. And then I decided to move to Pittsburgh, where my now husband is. And I got a job with a company here locally in Pittsburgh called EDMC. And we recruited at that point. It was a for-profit education company. And it was not the best role for me. I knew that, but I stuck it out and I waited and waited and finally got an opportunity. I got a call from a recruiter at Dick's Sporting Goods in 2011. And I said, I would absolutely love to come interview. So I started here in August of 2011 as a recruiter. And I've been here ever since and grown my career from that recruiter level role to a director level role.
Yeah, that's great. That's an exciting background. And yes, I can only imagine the challenges of recruiting on the college campus for student athletes. That definitely sounds like a big challenge and a lot at stake there. Let's talk a little bit about your current roles. You've got a lot of teams that report up through you. Talk a little bit about kind of the scope of delivery, how big the teams are, how many hires they make, and just kind of give the audience a feel for the scope of your team.
Yeah, so we have our corporate team, our campus team, which consists of interns as well as MBA. And then Game Changer, which we have one recruiter and he sits in New York City. We have an office in New York. That whole team works remotely now, but one of them. So our corporate team focuses on everything here. And then we do have some roles that are remote. For example, technology is remote. And then we also have some positions in marketing that are in certain pockets of the country. And then our HR generalists are also remote. So we support all of those functions from merchandising to finance, technology, you name it. Anything you think that would support our stores sits here. We call ourselves the store support center because if we don't have the stores, essentially we can't do anything, right? So that's where the core and bulk of how we're successful continues to be. So that's a big chunk of our team. There's 6 recruiters. We have 2 recruiting assistants that really help support the scheduling component, do a lot of the administrative work that the recruiters don't have time for. And then we have a sourcing specialist. So she really dives into some of those really niche roles and helps us source for some of those that we can't just post and pray and hope that somebody really great applies because it doesn't happen. And then our campus team consists of a manager who's fantastic. She does all the MBA recruiting. And then she supports our 2 campus recruiters that are out and about. This is like a crazy, crazy time of year for them because they're on campus every week. And then we have an HR process specialist that really helps with event planning, again, like positions, getting people hired into the right positions, dealing with invoicing, all of the travel components, getting all of the equipment to where it needs to be. And then finally, Game Changer, which is again, small. We have one recruiter that supports all of the technology functions in Game Changer in New York.
Okay, that sounds great. So talk a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, over the last year or so as you've been in this role, what are some of the initiatives you and your team have been working on from an improvement perspective?
Yeah, so I would say a little over a year ago, it was a huge initiative for us. So we're a very conservative company and we did not feel like maybe remote was the right thing to do for technology for quite some time. We had a new CTO that started in 2020, like literally April 1st, 2020, which was just very crazy. And he was very on board with getting us to that point where we could do things remotely. So it took a year, but last July, we finally, with lots of data that we surrounded our team with in regards to conversations we were having with engineers, engineering managers, folks in security, to get all of those roles in technology remote. So that was a huge, huge deal that we pushed myself and the HR manager and of course our recruiters to pull that data and get the information. That was the biggest thing. The next biggest thing that we're now working on, which I know, Ryan, we talked about in a previous conversation, is we're transitioning as a company to Workday. And so over the last several months, we've been doing lots and lots of testing on all of the different components and the modules within Workday to be able to make it the best we can make it. And then, of course, moving forward, figure out where those gaps will be. So that is something that we're continuing to work on, but will be something that will be very, very, I think, positive for the organization come April 2023.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's a major initiative. We've worked with several clients that have made that transition to Workday or to another kind of HCM type of solution. And going through that is really an all hands on deck, big initiative for all of the different groups to make sure too, because you need to deliver talent even through this process as you make that transition and get the releases. And then following that release, like, what's next? Where are the gaps? Where are the constraints? What do you need to add to your tech stack to be able to figure out how to deliver in accordance with your vision? So I usually ask questions around like, hey, what other initiatives do you have? But I understand 100% that that's going to take the mind share of you and your teams.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it too is like, we know what some of the gaps are. And I'm sure you know this in the industry that you support and work in. And it's like, we'll know what the gaps are. But how long can we potentially go with those gaps, knowing that Workday has different components that they're coming up with that will end up supporting us? So is it 2 years away? Is it 6 months away? Like from a video perspective, we use Yellow for campus and there's no video component within Workday. So we'll continue to use Yellow, but is there something that will end up being a part of Workday? Similar to texting, they have one-way texting. They don't have two-way texting. Do we need a two-way texting tool? So stuff like that, we're trying to figure out as we go.
Those are very common challenges that you need to navigate and just determine where your priorities are and what the vision is and timing and all of those types of things. So that's great. Outside of kind of the Workday implementation and all of the things that go beyond that with your teams and your peers' teams, maybe what's another one or two initiatives that you're looking at from the team here in the next year or two?
So I would say the biggest initiatives. So we did a big initiative with managers. So getting a manager to go into a system here was virtually impossible. And so we have a couple of recruiters on our team that have come from other organizations where managers were in the systems, and we use Taleo now, and it's not super user-friendly. It's not the most intuitive system. So with that, we are and are continuing to upscale and train our managers to get into the system, which will then allow us to, I think, transition into Workday a little bit better. So we put together a very nice, like, short training video for our hiring managers. And then we slowly trained and mentored the hiring managers of getting into the system and reviewing resumes so they could see the efficiencies of them being able to go into the system as opposed to us having to constantly send them resumes and download each and every copy of a resume to then forward to them. So that was a big initiative that we've worked on, and one that we're going to continue, I think, to drive home because the change management piece is important. The other one I'd say is the technology relationships that we've built. And I'll probably use technology as an example a lot because it's been, as you know, a huge part of any company being successful and staying relevant. But I think that part of it's been great. So we've really started to develop relationships, myself and our team. We have two tech recruiters. One supports engineering and security, data science. The other one supports product and UX. And we are very visible within those meetings. So we attend quarterly meetings with our leaders, with our CTO, with our six VPs to make sure that we are sharing all the data with them around hiring, around diversity, you know, around all of the things that are important to be able to continue to grow that team. And it's become a bit easier to have those conversations now that we've had them a couple of times. And they actually see us as subject matter experts and really as true partners, where we haven't had that prior to probably the last year, 18 months. I think it's been a great improvement in the process. And then, of course, being able to find candidates that are going to be relevant within that technology space, not only from a tech perspective, but a cultural perspective, so they fit in with the teams.
Yeah, that's a great initiative. Obviously, making that transition from tactical recruiting to more of a strategic partner and understanding the business and being involved with that helps you not only help those hiring managers, but also screen the candidates and speak the language and those types of things. So kudos to you for doing that for sure. Last question would be, what's some advice that you would share with others that are either in recruiting, coming into recruiting, growing in the recruiting space? Like, what's some advice that's either stuck with you or that you would give to others to help them be successful?
Yeah. So like, people here probably would laugh at this, but I'm a very simple person. I'm very to the point. I don't beat around the bush. I think it's very important in recruiting to have unbelievable communication skills and be honest with hiring managers. I think there's times when recruiters get scared, like, hey, I don't have any candidates for this position and it's been 2 weeks. And instead of reaching out to a hiring manager and saying, like, listen, this is what I'm doing and I'm having a really tough time recruiting for this role, what can we do differently? Like, we have different groups that we can share this in? Can we post this in other places? Are there different titles that we can use that when I'm sourcing for the position? So really being able to communicate with the people that you're supporting, I think, is the absolute biggest piece of advice. The best recruiters I know have the best relationships. And it's not always about, like, who fills the job faster, who has the best candidates. But if you can build those relationships, people trust you and come to you instead of going to other people to say, hey, so-and-so hasn't filled this role. It's been open for 40 days. I have no candidates. What's going on? They'll come directly to you as a recruiter to have those conversations, which I think is just so important. You know, when we think about the way the world is today and all of the times that it's like, hey, I'm just going to send a text message or I'm going to send a message on Teams. I think it's important to pick up the phone and have the conversation, which a lot of people have gone away from. And I think it really, really helps people be successful in a recruiting position.
Yeah, that's great advice. I agree. Relationships are key, and relationships and building trust. And then you can set expectations and communicate openly, but that it comes on that basis of relationships and trust. So I think that's excellent advice. Brooke, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you sharing a little bit about your background and your journey and things that are going on. And good luck to you and your team, and appreciate you joining.
Thanks. Awesome, Ryan. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology, just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.